Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which shloka you're doing? You're going in some particular order? Any shloka. Okay, any shloka. So let's go to the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, entitled The Perfection of Renunciation, and this is shloka number 66. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma suchaha sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma suchaha. Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman. Knowledge of the Supersoul. Knowledge of the different types of orders and statuses of social life. Knowledge of the renounced order of life. Knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He is described in so many ways different types of dharma. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have just been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the 7th chapter, it was said that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. The process of surrender to Krishna is described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, 11th chapter, shloka 676. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varajanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso gopitridvite varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye shadvidha sharanagati. According to the devotional process, one should simply accept such religious principles that will lead ultimately to the devotional service of the Lord. One may perform a particular occupational duty according to his position in the social order, but if by executing his duty one does not come to the point of Krishna consciousness, then all his activities are in vain. In Sanskrit, that is, shrama eva hi kevalam, simply a useless waste of time. Anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There is no need of thinking how one should keep the body and soul together, because Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. There are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation in the mystic yoga system, etc. However, one who surrenders unto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender unto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. One should be attracted by the beautiful vision of Krishna. His name is Krishna because he is all attractive. One who becomes attracted by the beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna is very fortunate. There are different kinds of transcendentalists. Some of them are attached to the impersonal Brahman vision. Some of them are attracted by the supersoul feature. But one who is attracted to the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and above all, one who is attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, is the most perfect transcendentalist. In other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Karma yogis, empiric philosophers, mystics, and devotees are all called transcendentalists, but one who is a pure devotee is the best of all. The particular words used here, ma suchaha, means don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. This is very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender unto Krishna, but such worry is useless. Om agyanta mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militang yezna tasmai sri gurave namaha sarva dharman paritya ja mamekang sharanam vraja ahang twang sarva papebhyo mukshayishyami ma suchaha. This is the essence of all knowledge. This is the sum and substance of Bhagavad Gita. Sri Krishna has had a conversation with Arjuna. He's mentioned various points, and now he comes to the Siddhanta. Siddha means perfect, and anta means the end. He now comes to the perfect conclusion, the Siddhanta. Sarva dharman parityaja. All other dharmas that you are doing should not become prominent, but you can reduce them. Mam ekam. Make me number one in your life, Krishna says. Mam ekam sharanam. You surrender and make me number one. So whatever dharmas we think are more important, we put them down. They can be number 10, number 20, even number 2, but Krishna has to be number 1. Krishna is asking us, please surrender unto me and make me number 1. Krishna wants to be number 1 in your life. He wants to be number 1 in everybody's life. This Krishna, who Radha loves so dearly, wants to be number 1 in your life. Why? Why is that? He's not like a politician that he wants your vote. It's not like that. It's a loving relationship. Krishna loves us so much. And when you have a loving relationship, you have the lover and the beloved. Krishna is the lover. He is the supreme lover. And we are the beloved. In order for the relationship to come together, the lover and the beloved, they make each other number one in their life. Everyone else is second, third, fourth, fifth, like this. But that loving person, that beloved, is number one. So Krishna, he's made us number one already. He's already done that. He's our supreme lover. Now, someone may ask, well, how all of us can be number one? Because Krishna is on the absolute platform. We're on the relative platform. So we're thinking, if someone's number one, then someone else must be number two. But for Krishna, everyone is number one because he loves everyone equally. Now, here we can touch on the meaning of love. Let's go deeper and understand what is love. Love is not a material emotion. It does not originate from this planet. Love originates in the spiritual realm, and it is a gift from the spiritual world. It is part and parcel of the Atma, the Jivatma, of the spirit soul. Every living entity exhibits love. You may see a cat loving her kittens or a lion loving her cubs. So love is there in every species. And love is spiritual. Because if it wasn't for love, we would have no knowledge that there was any higher consciousness. We would have no knowledge that there was even God. So love is our connection to the spiritual realm. You see, without love, everyone is just thinking for me. I would do everything for my benefit. I take whatever resources are there for me. And if I have to push someone out of the way to get, then I will do that. This is going on today in this world. It's called dog eat dog. Everyone fighting to get more and more of their share. But because of love, some of us, we want to do something for the benefit of someone else. So Krishna, everything he does is for the benefit of others. Everything he does. So Krishna has great love for us because he has created us. Just like parents, they have a child. They love that child like anything. I think the women will agree with me that when you marry, the husband is number one in your life. But when you have a child, child becomes number one. Am I right? So similarly, we are the children of Krishna. So for us, for him, we are number one. But we are not reciprocating. I think the women also, the mothers, will agree with me that when the child first is born, he's only taking. Me, 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 give me. He wants food, he wants this. Everything should be for him. He is the center of attention. But then one day, he takes some of the food that mother's giving and he says, here, Mom, I want to give back to you. He's reciprocating the love. And how wonderful that is it not, ladies? How the heart just melts. Because now the child is reciprocating that love that the mother gave selflessly. So this is a material example. Krishna, he is giving us everything. He is giving us the earth that we live on, the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the water we drink, the clothes that we wear, the shelter that we have. He's given us everything. And we're simply taking, taking. And at what point do we reciprocate and say, thank you. Thank you, Krishna. That is the first step. We want to thank you, Krishna. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything you've given to us. And now I want to give something back to you. What can we give back to Krishna? I mean, he has everything, is it not? He owns everything, controls everything, creates everything. Is there anything Krishna doesn't have? What do you say? Is there anything Krishna doesn't have? Yes or no? There's one thing Krishna doesn't have. He has everything else, but he doesn't have your love. That he doesn't have, because we are not giving. That is the situation. He does not have my heart, because I am not giving. Life after life, birth after birth, I'm trying to have loving relationship with everybody else, but not Krishna. I'm giving my heart to this lady, or this lady is giving her heart to this man. And where is Krishna? In the background. Krishna still loves us, but he sees that we're not interested in him. We're more interested in having relationship with somebody else. So Krishna remains quietly in the background as our secret admirer. He becomes our secret admirer. He does everything for us, but stays in the background. He stands in the shadows of love, waiting for us one day to turn around and say, "Thank you, Krishna. Now I realize how much you've done for me and that I should reciprocate with you." And this is the point of this verse, Mam Ekam. Krishna says, "You make me number one. You surrender your heart to me, and I will take care of you." Because we haven't done it for so many lifetimes, Krishna wants to give us some inducement. So he says, "Ahang Twang Sarva Papebhyo." If you make me number one in your life, if we can reestablish our loving relationship, I will take away all your sinful reactions. I will take away all your pap karma. Not only from this life, but I will take away all the pap karma from the last life, and the one before that, and the 100 before those, and the 1,000 before those. All those lifetimes of sinful reactions, Krishna will wipe the slate clean. This is what Krishna will do. Is that a good deal for us? What do you think? Is that a good deal for us? We make Krishna number one, he cleans our slate, all the karmas. Is that a good deal? In Bombay, you go shopping, you want to get a good deal, no? Always bargaining for the best deal. So Krishna's giving such a good deal, but still we're not interested. So Krishna gives a bonus. Moksha Ishyami, I will give you liberation. What does it mean, liberation, moksha? It means that you can return into, enter into Krishna's Nitya Leela and serve Krishna with loving devotion, Satchit Ananda, forever and ever and ever, according to your own heart. So that bonus he is giving. Now it's even better deal. Yes? You're not sure? But still we are hesitant. So Krishna says, Ma Suchaha. What does Ma Suchaha mean? Have no fear. It means don't worry. It means have no anxiety. When Krishna says have no anxiety, have no fear, what does he mean? He means trust me. Trust me. Krishna says, I want to be number one in your life because you are number one in my life. I will do everything for you. Trust me. So he says this to Arjuna. And Arjuna trusts him. Arjuna surrenders and agrees. Srila Prabhupada said that the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita is to have the same understanding as Arjuna and follow in the same footsteps as Arjuna. That is Gita. Anything else is speculation. Because there's a conversation between two people on the battlefield. And Arjuna is having doubts, and Krishna is trying to inspire him. So as he understands what Krishna is speaking to him directly, we should also understand Krishna speaking to us directly, and we should get the same message. It is not like some mundane poem where you string beautiful words together and you can take whatever meaning you want. That is not Gita. That is not Gita. Gita is the explanation of how to reestablish your loving relationship with your Maker, with the Supreme Lord, Krishna, who created us. If we do it right, we get the result. If we don't do it right, what do we get? No result. We don't get the result. Anybody studied chemistry or biology in this room? If you perform the experiment incorrectly, do you get the result? No. In the class, different people are grouped together performing the experiment. Some do it correctly, and they get the result. Others don't get the result. Is it not? They didn't do it right. It's the same with the process of bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga means the yoga of devotion. The yoga of devotion. Bhakti actually means devotional service. So it means the yoga of devotional service. Now, if we realize that Krishna has been giving us everything life after life, and we realize we should say thank you, then bhakti yoga becomes the yoga of gratitude. It is the yoga of gratitude, where I realize what is my situation, what is Krishna's situation, and now I want to reciprocate. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, so I reciprocate to them. What does that mean? It means if I give 5%, Krishna reciprocates 5%. If I give 100%, how much does Krishna give? He also gives 100%. My 100% and Krishna's 100%, is that the same? Krishna's 100% is much, much more than my 100%, is it not? If I give 100% and Krishna reciprocates 100%, is that a good deal for me? Is it in my best interest? Then why I'm hesitating? This is the question. We have to ask ourselves this question. Prabhupada says in the purport that we have to accept everything that's favorable for reestablishing our relationship with Krishna. And whatever is not favorable, we have to push it aside. This is the teaching of Rupa Goswami. Accept whatever is most favorable to advance in your devotion and service. And you reject that which is hindering you, that's not helping you to advance in devotional service. So everybody is in this room because you are a devotee of Krishna. You could be going anywhere. You could be at the beach. You could be at the cinema. You could be at the party. But everyone has come to take darshan of Sri Krishna. So you're all devotees of Krishna. Yes? So because you're all sitting here, that is one fact. But because you're all sitting here, there's another fact we have to consider. And that is, as devotees of Krishna, in your previous life, you did not go back home, back to Godhead. You again had to take birth. And that's why you're here again. So we should understand what is our situation. You can only come up with a solution to the problem if you fully understand the problem. So we have to understand what is our problem, what is our situation here in this material realm, that we simply have not made Krishna number one in our life. Now what happens if we make Krishna number one in our life? Well, he says, ahang tuang sarva pape bhyo, I'll clear all your sinful reactions. I'll give you moksha. But if that isn't enough, he says, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, anyone who's constantly engaged, Bhajatam, worshipping me, Priti Purvakam, with full love, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te, I give you intelligence. But what kind of intelligence? Buddhi Yoga, the kind of intelligence for uniting, coming in union with me, so that you can come to me. The intelligence of Bhakti Yoga, the Buddhi Yoga, is the intelligence to perform Bhakti Yoga properly, heartfelt. Now, everyone here in this room is chanting japa. You're doing it every day? Okay, that is Satatam Yuktanam. You're always engaged every day in chanting japa. So anyone, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, anyone who's engaged in service in that way, Bhajatam, chanting japa or doing kirtan, this is worshiping Krishna, Bhajatam, Priti Purvakam, with full love. All you have to do is add the priti, add the love. There's love in everyone's heart. We just have to open up that heart chakra, and whatever service we're doing, whether we're chanting japa, doing kirtan, doing puja, whatever we're doing, going out and bringing the message of Krishna to the non-devotees, we do it with devotion, with love. Then he will give us that buddhi yoga so that we can very quickly and very intelligently come to Krishna very quickly. Ananyas chintayam yantumam ye jana paryupashate tesham bayayuktanam yogikshevam bahamyaham, Krishna says. That if you think of me only, you don't have other thoughts, you don't meditate on other material things, but you think of me, then whatever you lack, I will make it up. Whatever you don't have, I'll make sure that you get it. And whatever you do have, I'll make sure you don't lose it. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. I make up what you, I carry what you lack, I make it up, and I preserve what you have, make sure you don't lose it. Sounds like a good deal for us, no? Krishna really wants us to surrender to him, make him number one. Look how much he's doing for us. Do you want me to go on? Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir jnanam apovanam cha. Krishna says, I'm not far away. I'm right here in your heart. I'm in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham hridi, in the heart, sannivishto. I'm situated in everyone's heart. Matasmitir jnanam apovanam cha. And from me comes remembrance. From me comes knowledge. But also from me comes forgetfulness. So, if we are reciprocating with Krishna, then he will give us jnana. He has that jnana shakti, that from within our heart, he gives us that full jnana shakti so that we have full knowledge. He gives us his smriti shakti so that we can remember who we are. We can remember what is our relationship with Sri Krishna. We can remember that our goal of life is to return to him. We can remember during the day that we should be thinking of him and doing everything as service to him. So Krishna will make sure that we don't forget him. But if we have other interests, apohanam cha, he also has that apohan shakti. If we don't think of Krishna, if we don't make him number one and we're interested in something else as number one, Krishna will cover us so we will forget him and we can be free to make something else number one in our life. So you can see Krishna is our best friend. Whatever we want, he will make all facility that we get it. Even if it's against his interest. He wants to have a loving relationship with us. But even if we don't want to have a loving relationship with him, we want to chase after Maya, Maya Sukaya, trying to enjoy material energy, Krishna is so kind, he gives us all facility to do that also. No force from Krishna. No force. Because in loving relationship, there is no force. So Krishna, as you can see, as you study Bhagavad Gita more and more and more, you'll be able to realize that Krishna is doing everything for us, for our benefit. And when do we stop and say, thank you, Krishna? This is what we should be doing. Thank you, Krishna. And reciprocate with him. And make him happy. Do what makes him happy. Because that's how you please the beloved. By doing what pleases them. So this is bhakti yoga. But you are knowing these things. You've all heard it before, is it not? So Krishna is number one in your life. You've given up everything else, right? You have no other interest, right? Why everyone is laughing? I made one joke? Or so we have to become serious. We have to really take this seriously. Because if we don't take it seriously, you know what will happen? 50 years from now, we'll again be in this temple on a Sunday feast program, but in different body. So I'm trying to give you encouragement from the positive side. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. You know the shloka? How many times is Sri Chaitanya encouraging us to take shelter of the holy name? Here's some, yeah, these people have heard my classes before. Who those? How many times? Three. Someone said three. It's actually eight. Eight times he's saying it. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama is three. Eva, certain. It's guaranteed. It's certain. That's another positive. Then he says, Kevalam. Kevalam means only. When you say only this, it means everything else is eliminated. So everything else is eliminated. There's one negative. Then Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Three more negatives. Four positives, four negatives. How many times? Gatiranyata, to attain the goal. Eight times in this one shloka. So I've been giving you the positives. Now I'm going to give you the negatives. So supposing we don't take this as seriously as we should. Let's assume that we have to take birth again, okay? Now what happens when you take birth in your next body? What happens is for the first 20 years of your life, you have to learn what you already knew in the past life. You forget everything. You forget how to walk. You have to learn that. You forget how to talk. You have to learn that all over again. You have to learn how to put on your clothes. You even have to learn how to go to the toilet. And that takes a couple of years. So for 2 years, you can't even do that properly. Is it not? Then you have to learn how to read and write. So for 20 years, your first 20 years of your next life, you're going to learn everything that you already know now in this life. Is it not? Is it not a waste of time? Isn't it a bit ridiculous when you think about it? And how many times have we done that? Birth after birth. Everything we learn, take birth, forget, and learn it all over again. Take birth again, forget everything, and learn the same things all over again. How many times do you have to learn to go to the toilet before you finally say, enough? I want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to enter into the Nitya Leela. You see? So this taking birth again is not a good idea. Because there's no guarantee in what family you will be born. There's no guarantee you will be born in a family of Vaishnavas. No guarantee. We just don't know. And that is a risk. That is a gamble. But we're not supposed to be gambling, are we? Yeah. No gambling, right? But yet we're gambling all the time. Mental speculation, that's also gambling. Because the Shastra gives you the actual understanding, the true knowledge, and we're speculating this and that, maybe, maybe not. So that's also gambling. So we're taking great risk by not surrendering to Krishna. Because Krishna says, Ma Suchaha, trust me. If you don't trust someone, then you have a little worry, you have a little anxiety, a little fear may be there. What will happen? Can I trust this person? You see, that's the anxiety. But Krishna is saying, Ma Suchaha, you trust me. If you can't trust God, who can you trust? If you can't trust anyone else in the world, can you trust God? If there was one person you're going to give your trust to, who would it be? Krishna? Krishna or your boss at work? Krishna? I think so. Someone may say, well, I can trust my husband or my wife. But nowadays you can't say that anymore. I've heard that 50% of the marriages now in Bombay are like in America, divorced. People nodding their heads. So you cannot trust anyone but Krishna. And Krishna is saying, trust me. So we should trust Krishna. Now, how do we reestablish that loving relationship with Krishna? Okay, we agree. We're going to make Krishna number one. Do we all agree? So how do we do it? We want some practical application. And that is by chanting his holy name without offense. If you chant Maha Mantra with offense, will you get Krishna Prema? No. So chanting Maha Mantra with offenses will not get us the goal. Well, there's how many offenses are there in chanting the holy name? 10. What is the 10th offense? To be inattentive while chanting. You know what that means, to be inattentive while chanting? It means that you're not interested. You have always have a choice. Krishna always gives a choice. You're sitting there chanting Hare Krishna mantra, then thought comes into your mind. Where does your interest go? To the thought. If your interest goes to the thought, then you're more interested in your thoughts than in Krishna Nam. But what do we think about? What is it that we always think about? My lila. Isn't it? Either my past lila, my future lila, or my present lila. My present lila is how am I going to pay all those bills? How am I going to deal with this problem or that problem? So we're always going from chanting Krishna and thinking about Krishna to thinking about my lila. And that is called aparad, offense, by the acharyas, by the pure devotees. So if offensive chanting doesn't bring Krishna prema, then pure chanting, attentive chanting will bring Krishna prema, yes? Is it? What happens if you chant at fully attentively, hearing the mantra completely? What happens then? Cheto darpana marjanam, is it not? If you hear the sound vibration, it enters into the ear and into the heart and then purifies the heart. What happens when the heart becomes purified from all anarthas? What happens then? You become what? Pure devotee. Is it not? What is the difference between pure devotee and conditioned soul? The anarthas in the heart. Pure devotee has no anarthas because the only thing in his heart is Krishna prema. So we should all be chanting attentively. Is it not? Who agrees? Now, all of us are chanting, right? We already agreed on that. But if we're not chanting with full attention, then we're not getting 100% of the benefit. Supposing I'm chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I hear that round, that mantra. That's very good. But then I start thinking about this or that. Then after that, I don't hear. I'm not getting 100% benefit. All of a sudden, my benefit went from 100% was reduced. And for as long as I keep chanting and I'm just thinking, my percentage of success is being reduced more and more and more. Everyone here was a student at one time, yes? You remember when you were in college? Remember how the professor used to speak? He used to sit there writing notes, isn't it? Writing, writing, writing. Did your mind ever wander when you were in school? Did you ever have to ask your friend, what was that last point? I missed it. Who had that experience? So what is the teaching? What does that teach us? That teaches us that when you think, you can't hear. When you're thinking, you can't hear what he's speaking. So you have to ask, what was that last point? So when you're chanting and you're hearing Maha Mantra and you start thinking, then you don't hear anymore. If you don't hear, does the sound of the Maha Mantra enter into the ear? If it doesn't enter into the ear, does it enter into the heart? If it doesn't enter into the heart, are the anartas cleansed away? No. So if we're chanting japa or doing kirtan and our mind is wandering, then that's a very unfortunate situation that we are in. So if you want to make Krishna number one, you have to be attentive while chanting his holy name. Let me give you an example. Supposing one of you in this room was picked to go to Delhi to present to Manmohan Singh the Bhagavad Gita on behalf of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. You were the representative of ISKCON to give the Prime Minister of India the Bhagavad Gita as a special gift, okay? Now you go there, but your mind is wandering. You're not fixed. He speaks to you. You don't hear because you're thinking something else. How will he react? Will he think that we made a good presentation? Would he possibly be insulted? You understand the point? If you're speaking to someone and they're not even paying attention, how do you feel? But yet we're doing this to Krishna all the time. And that's why the acharyas say that this inattentive chanting is offensive. Krishna doesn't say it's offensive. But the acharyas say it's offensive. Because Krishna, he tolerates. He tolerates. But he would love if we actually chanted his name with devotion, with some loving devotion. That would make him so happy. So that should be the goal of our life, to chant attentively. Now, if we chant attentively so that we hear the mantra, that enters into the ear, enters into the heart, purifies the heart, then we become pure devotees. If you become pure devotees, do you commit any offenses after that? No. So if you solve the problem of the 10th offense, all the other 9 offenses are taken care of. They disappear. It's because of the 10th offense that all the other 9 are there. Did you realize that? So our real problem is to solve the problem of the 10th offense. That is our real problem. So I'm supposed to end in 4 minutes. But you want some tips and advice? How to hear attentively. So the first thing you have to do is you have to promise yourself that when I chant the name of Krishna, I will not think. You have to make a promise. And when you catch yourself beginning to think, you have to stop it immediately. Stop it immediately. Don't allow it to happen. If the mind still takes you away, then you have to stop your chanting. And you have to deal with your mind. And you have to say, I don't want to think about this. I don't need to think about this. I can think about this later. Right now, I want to give this time to Krishna. Your intelligence has to convince your mind to also hear the holy name. If your mind does not become a Vaishnava, can you become a Vaishnava? So your mind has to become a devotee. Your mind has to relish the nectar of the holy name. Then you can very quickly become a pure devotee. Then you can be very quickly a benefit to every living entity on this planet. Anyone who comes to you for guidance, you can solve their problems and help them. But unless you solve your own problem first, you might not be able to help others. So first we have to solve our own problem. And we only have one problem. And that is, we're inattentive while chanting. That's the only problem we have. We have no other problem. Because once we become attentive, once we hear the mantra, we become purified and all the other problems vanish like the mist in the morning as the sun rises. As the sun of Krishna consciousness arises in your heart, the mist of all the problems fade away. So we have to promise ourselves that we're going to be attentive. You know, the Sanskrit word for attentive is pramatta. The 10 offenses can be found in the Padma Purana. That's where it's dealt with. And the Sanskrit for the 10th offense, the word is pramatta. Prabhupada translated it in 4 different ways. The most gentle way was inattentive. But in the second canto, he translated in a heavier way. The second meaning is uninterested. Pramatta also means uninterested. Why we're inattentive? Because we're not interested in Krishna Nam. We're more interested in my material thoughts. Where's my attention going? It's going to where my interest is. It's going towards the material thoughts. You see? So the reality is we're not really that interested in Krishna as we thought we were. We're more interested in our own temporary material affairs in this life. That's the second meaning of pramatta. The third meaning of pramatta is careless. I care less for Krishna Nam and care more for my own material attachments. I care less. The fourth meaning of pramatta is mad. Someone who is given the process of chanting the Lord's holy name to get out of the material universe and be free from samsara once and all, and to enter into the Nitya Lila. And they are thinking of some material thing. Must be mad. Must be mad. Completely mad. So we should understand our situation. And figure out how to solve this one problem. We only have one problem. If we solve this one problem, the road back home to Krishna is clear. We can go back home, back to Godhead in this very life, guaranteed. Because Prabhupada told us that. I heard it directly from him. He said, if you follow this process, as I have given it, without offenses, I guarantee you go back home, back to Godhead. But we're not following it as he gave it, because we're not interested. We care less and care more for our own material thoughts. So the tenth offense, the way Prabhupada translated it, was to be inattentive while chanting and to maintain material attachments even after hearing so many instructions on this matter. So today, we're hearing some instructions on this matter. But next week, will you still be inattentive after hearing the instructions again and again and again? What will happen next week? Will you still be inattentive? Or will you now give full attention? So have you got a few extra minutes to go over time for some tips? Okay, the first thing is you have to promise yourself, I'm not going to think when I chant the holy name. The reason that we're thinking, the reason that our attention leaves the holy name is because bad habits in the past, negative samskaras from the past. Now we have to rewrite the samskaras in the brain. We have to reteach the mind that it's not all right to think material thoughts when I chant Hare Krishna. I have to be peaceful. The mind has to be peaceful, no thinking. Peaceful, no thinking. Restless mind is the greatest enemy. And peaceful mind is your greatest friend, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So, you have to promise yourself. That's step one. Step two, next time you sit down to chant japa, you record it. You record your japa so you can hear how you're chanting. In the beginning, you'll hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then as the mind starts wandering, you'll hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Then you'll know. Whoops. So I recommend that you record it and hear it so it becomes practical for you. Now it's just theory. Some theory. Someone is speaking some theory. But when you hear yourself chanting, then you become shocked. Another thing you can do is if you're sitting in japa and there's other people chanting, you can listen to their chanting. You ever done that? You ever listen to someone else chanting? I have. I've always tried to figure out what mantra they were chanting. So the third thing I do is I slow down my chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I can hear every word. Now, of course, when you slow down your chanting, it takes longer, doesn't it? It may take an extra hour. Is that time well spent? Is it worth spending an extra hour to chant without offense, attentively? So we should take that time and do it properly, no? Now, another thing that I do is I close my eyes. Now, that may not work for everybody because some people, when they close their eyes, they fall asleep. Then you have to look at Srila Prabhupada, or you look at the picture of Radha Gopinath, or you look at whatever it is that you can focus on. And you chant slowly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While you're looking at Srila Prabhupada, or while you're looking at a picture of Radha and Krishna, you chant from the heart. You want to say thank you through your chanting. You want to chant in a mood of gratitude. Thank you for giving me this process. I appreciate it. You want to let Prabhupada know, you want to let Radha and Krishna know that you appreciate it. And you want to chant from the heart. not from the throat, but from the heart. Is this helpful? Now, if you still have problems with the mind, then you have to chant louder. When you're chanting very loudly, the mind can't think. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, Haridas Thakur, he chanted 192 rounds. 64 of those rounds, the first 64, were very loudly like that. He chanted them very loudly so that any living entities who were in hearing range could be benefited, could be purified by the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So we can also give that benefit by chanting loudly. But we also chant loudly to take away the opportunity for the mind to think. Then the second 64 rounds, Haridas Thakur chanted very softly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 64 of those soft rounds, like a lover whispering in the ear of his beloved. That's how he chanted, full of loving devotion. The second 64. The last 64 rounds, he chanted silently. He had his mind chant the final 64 rounds. So he went from external chanting to internal chanting. 64 rounds, that's a lot of time. It's about 6 hours. So 6 hours of internal chanting. His pulse was going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you can attain this level of internal chanting, then you're chanting 24 hours a day, even when you're sleeping. Even when you're sleeping. The mantra is internal. So one reason why I close my eyes when I chant is to feel the mantra, to feel it. Not just to hear it, but to feel it as well, to experience the mantra through my body, through my consciousness, in my heart. It's also to block out anything material. So I don't see the other devotees. I don't see whatever is there. I don't notice anything. Because as soon as I notice that this brahmachari didn't shave, then I start thinking about it. Or if I notice that this mataji is very attractive, then I start thinking about that. See, so closing my eyes solves that problem for me. Or if you just look at Radha and Krishna or Srila Prabhupada. You understand? We want to give our full attention, our full interest, our full caring to the holy name, Krishna's holy name. And in this way, we send the message to Krishna that we care, that we are reciprocating your love for us, that we are grateful, and we are thankful, and we want to reestablish our loving relationship with you. So time is late. I'll stop here. This is a seminar that I usually give, and it's much longer, but I've abbreviated it. Yes.
What is your personal realization? You are moving on a 40-year. When you say, I can chant, you know, my closing eyes, when you are with the people fall asleep, and for one, that's one point that I'm connecting with this, what do you feel when you are chanting?
Okay, that's a very good question. The reason that some people may fall asleep when they close their eyes is because they haven't had enough sleep. If you have enough, then you're not going to fall asleep. So that's the answer to that one. What do I feel? I feel all kinds of emotions. What I try to feel is the separation from Krishna. Because in my reading of the Shastras, the six Goswamis weren't saying, I've got Krishna, I've got Krishna. It's always, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is my beloved? I try to experience that mood of longing, to let Krishna know that I'm longing for his association. I love the holy name, the beauty of the holy name. And I love to sing the melodies. I'll give you my realization of chanting the kirtan. I see kirtan as direct puja, archana siddhi. Because Kali Kale Nam Rupe Krishna Avatar, we know that Krishna and his holy name are non-different. So when I'm singing or chanting in japa, whatever, but singing is, this analogy is for singing. When I'm singing in kirtan, the holy name of Krishna, to me it's a puja. I'm worshiping the holy name by doing puja. I'm offering the beautiful melodies which are like the clothes that decorate the deity of the holy name. The mridanga rhythms and kartal rhythms are like the ornaments, the bangles and the necklaces and the jewels that decorate the deity of the holy name. The flame that I offer in this puja is the fire of my devotion. The water that I offer in this puja of kirtan to the holy name is the tears or the emotions in my heart. The flower that I offer in this puja to the holy name is the flower of my youth. Of course, I'm an old man, so the flower of whatever life I have left. But for you young people, you have your whole life there. So this is what we offer in our puja. This is how I see it. This is my understanding when I'm doing kirtan. This, you ask for my realization, that is it. Hare Krishna. I have another realization. Do I have time to go on? We need, Prabhupada said that when we're chanting, we need to have favorable oral reception. So oral, A-U-R-A-L, means hearing properly. Oral, O-R-A-L, means speaking properly. So he said favorable oral reception can be taken both ways. So when he wrote it, it was A-U-R-A-L, hearing, favorably hearing. In other words, attentive chanting. So favorable oral reception. That reception means to receive. But a reception is also where you receive welcome guests, where you honor the welcome guests and you take care of them. Just like after a wedding, you have a reception. The honored guests are welcomed. You feed them sumptuously. You glorify them. You play beautiful music. They have a wonderful time. So the kirtan is favorable oral reception, or this time it can be japa. This is the analogy for japa, favorable oral reception. We're going to have a reception in our heart for the holy names of Krishna. They are the invited guests. The holy names of Krishna are the invited guests to the reception that we're going to have in our heart. The front door is the ear. Now at every reception, you have the chokidar, the front gate. Only the invited guests can come in. The uninvited guests are not allowed. Is it not? Chokidar. The uninvited guests are all our material thoughts. So who is the chokidar? The chokidar is our intelligence. The intelligence stands at our ear and makes sure only the holy names enter into the reception of love in our heart and keeps out all material thoughts. Whenever material thoughts come, the intelligence checks them, so that we have a favorable reception of the holy names of Krishna in our heart. That's my realization of japa. I can go a little further about japa. My realization of japa is my quality time alone with Krishna. Kirtan is when we are all together with Krishna. All the gopis are together with Krishna. But japa is when it's just you and Krishna. One gopi and Krishna. I'm all alone. It's just me and Krishna, his holy name. And I want to have quality time with Krishna. I want to give him my whole heart, my whole attention, my whole consciousness. So that's what japa is, our quality time with Krishna. But if we have all these material thoughts, then there is no quality in that association. Now we have 24 hours in a day. We have to promise ourselves, I'm going to give at least 2 hours exclusively for Krishna. And the other 22, I can deal with however I like. So those 2 hours, you want quality time with Krishna. Just like you have quality time with your guru. You have a personal darshan with your guru. Or a husband and wife, they have quality time together. So I want to have quality time, just myself and Krishna. If I can't do it for 2 hours, I do it for 1 hour. If I can't do it for 1 hour, at least I should strive one mala, quality time, right, where the mind is completely peaceful, rested, and I can give my whole heart and consciousness and attention to Krishna. If I can't do one mala, at least one mantra. Now, perhaps you have read in the Shastra where it says that if anyone chants the holy name of the Lord just once without offense, then he can become a pure devotee. Anybody know that shloka? Anybody read that before? How many have read that? You don't read very much. How many have heard that? Okay, good. Do you want to do that now? Should we now chant one mantra completely offenselessly? Are you ready for that? Let's take the chanting now to the next higher level. Are you prepared to do it? Okay, sit properly. Okay, you're going to give your full attention. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If not, you focus on Radha Gopinath. First thing that we do is we offer forgiveness to any person in this life that I ever offended. I beg forgiveness from them, whoever I have offended. The second thing that you do is you forgive all people who ever offended you or hurt you. You forgive them now. You hold no more negative feelings towards them. Now we're going to focus our heart. We're going to chant from the heart Krishna's holy name. The mind's going to be peaceful. No thoughts going to be there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How did that feel? Now you're on the level of pure devotion. So for the rest of your life now, you have to stay on this platform. Don't fall down from this platform. Stay on this platform. That is job one. The child became overwhelmed. Too much bhakti for one little body. Gasping for breath. Hari Bol Prabhu, was that helpful? Did that answer your questions? Thank you very much. Any other points for discussion? Yes. Best way how to do this in kirtan form. How to train up in kirtan. Well, Prabhupada said that the safest place in the material world is in the middle of kirtan rasa. He didn't say in the middle of the kirtan. He said in the middle of kirtan rasa. What is the rasa? That's the bhava. That's the mood. You can be in the kirtan and your mind can be thinking about the problems I have today, how to solve them. That will not help you. So you have to be in the kirtan rasa. You have to taste that kirtan. And the devotees do it. We see it. They chant and they dance. And they're not thinking. So we're doing that. But we're not doing it in a steady way. It's chanchal. It's up and down, back and forth. So how to be fixed in that. I've analyzed and I've just asked different devotees, and what the answers that are coming to me is that during the kirtan, when the people are thinking, is at the time when the leader is singing and I'm listening. But when I sing, then the mind is peaceful. So the solution is you sing the whole time. You always sing. Even when the leader is singing, you sing with him. Because it means that our shravanam is not good. That's what it means. If we're chanting inattentively, it means our shravanam is bad. If you have bad shravanam, can you have good kirtanam? I don't think so, right? So while we're working on our shravanam, training ourselves to hear attentively, then in the kirtan, we should be singing constantly and we should be dancing. When you're singing and dancing and enjoying like anything, then your mind will be peaceful. Now, I said that you should be enjoying the kirtan. Has anyone ever told you you're not the enjoyer? That means yes, right? Well, whoever told you that you're not the enjoyer was mistaken, because Krishna says you are the enjoyer. What is that shloka? Who knows that shloka? Raja Vidya Raja Guryam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Susukam. Sukam means joy. Susukam is even more joyful than joyful. Kartum means what? Kartaha. What does it mean? To do. Kartum. Susukam Kartum. You joyfully do it. Then you are the doer. Susukam kartam, you are the enjoyer. You're enjoying. Susukam kartam avyayam. And that joy is inexhaustible. It's unending. It's ever increasing. It never stops, never ends. Now, have you ever heard someone say you're not the doer? Susukam kartam. You are doing it. You're enjoying and you're doing it. Everybody know the Brahma Sutra. First shloka, first sutra is Adhato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the second sutra? He said it. Who else knows it? Anandamayo Vyasat. That we are all full of enjoyment. We are enjoyers. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We're the mini enjoyer. Anandamayo Vyasat. So why you're not the enjoyer? I say, you're not the sufferer. Because the only enjoyment in the material world is connected with Krishna. There is no other enjoyment. But when that which is connected to in Krishna, that is true enjoyment. So when we're connected to Krishna, we're not the sufferers. We are the enjoyers, the only enjoyers. Prabhupada gave the example. He said the servant also lives in the same palace as the king, eats from the same kitchen as the king. The servant of the king is living in full opulence. He's not the king, but he's in the same place. So we are the servants of Krishna. So as he is a supreme enjoyer, we're also a minute enjoyer, because we're connected to the supreme enjoyer. Purushottam. And he says to Arjuna, fight. That means Arjuna is the doer. Krishna's not fighting. He's only driving the chariot. Who's doing the fighting? Arjuna. Arjuna doesn't want to be the doer. And Krishna says, you be the doer. You fight. So when people say to you, you're not the doer, or when, what does it mean? It means that Krishna is giving us the shakti, but we are the doers. The shakti comes from Krishna, but we are actually doing it. Prabhupada said, you chant 16 rounds. He didn't say, give your japa mala to the temple president and he'll chant it for you. He didn't say like that. He said, you do it. The tenth offense. If you are chanting inattentively, you're the doer. You're doing the inattentive chanting, or you're doing the attentive chanting. So we are the enjoyer. We are the doer. You know, we have to be very clear on this philosophy. And the only way to do it is to read Prabhupada's books, not what we hear people saying that may be incorrect. Prabhupada said many times, I've written these books for my disciples. They're not just meant for distribution. They're meant to be read and studied. We go out and distribute the books, but if we don't read them, that's not very good. It means we won't last. Maybe we'll be 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the movement, but not our whole life. Because we'll be on thin ice. At any moment, we can bloop. As soon as some difficulty comes in our life, we lose faith. So by studying the books and understanding this tattva, then we can become stronger. Then we can come to not the Kanishtha platform, but the Madhyam Adhikari platform, where your position is secure. So I've been associating with devotees since 1972, and I've seen many of my god brothers who were big, big leaders, sannyasis, who were gurus, and they're gone. They couldn't stay. I mean, Krishna consciousness is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Marathon means for your whole life. So, in the kirtan, we should be enjoying that kirtan. We should be chanting the holy name joyfully. Susukam kartum avyayam. And if when I'm during the shravanam part, my mind starts wandering, then I start singing immediately. Carry on singing, carry on dancing. Don't allow the mind to start wandering. Because remember, we took a promise. I will not chant and think at the same time. You have to retrain your mind. Right now, we've given bad training to the mind that it's okay to wander, okay to meditate on material things while I chant. Now we have to say it's not okay. So, if during the kirtan your mind stops wandering, you start singing, you sing louder, and you dance more. Now, is it difficult to control the mind? One person thinks so. Okay. Even Arjuna thought so, isn't it? He said to Krishna, it's more difficult to control the mind than it is to control the wind. I can easily control the wind, but not the mind. Who can control the wind? Nobody. But yet, do you realize, I've thought about this deeply, and there are many people who are not devotees who are controlling their mind regularly. You want me to tell you who they are? Are you ready? At the Olympics, those athletes that win the gold medal, their minds are completely fixed. Because as soon as you start thinking something else, the next guy is going to win that gold medal. They're completely focused and fixed. Athletes. Who else? You ever been to a circus? You ever see those people on the trapeze? If their mind starts wandering, they die. They got to be completely focused. All those circus acrobats that do the trapeze and all those high wire acts balancing like that, they have to be completely focused. How about opera singers? Opera singers have to sing for 2 hours, they have to memorize a complete libretto and they have to sing it. If they start thinking and they forget their next line, their career of singing opera is finished. How about actors on the stage? Same thing. They have to be completely focused. If they forget their lines, their acting career is finished. How about mountain climbers? If they take the next step and if they're careless or inattentive, they fall down to their death. So these are some examples of people that are controlling their mind and they're focused on what they are doing. And what they are doing is nothing as important as what we are doing. and yet we are not focused. Think about that. Think about it. We really have to make a change, don't we? We have to get serious about bhakti yoga. Otherwise, we're going to take birth again, or we're going to have to learn everything we know now all over again. You know, I had an idea for a movie. It's about a man who keeps taking birth. And you see him in different situations, learning everything all over and over again. Then he takes birth again. All the audience is laughing, seeing how foolish it is. But it's us. Is that helpful? Any other questions? So why don't we now do a kirtan with full attention? We will not allow the mind to deviate. We will tell our mind that now is not the time to think of anything. This is quality time with Krishna Nam. Okay?